This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We are reading from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. After he is killed, he will rise the third day." But they did not understand this saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves of who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Before we get to verse 30 in that passage, what happened before that was that Jesus had come down from the mountain and a man had brought his possessed son, wanting to bring him to Jesus, but Jesus was up on the hill. So he went over to the disciples instead. Well, they couldn't cast it out. Well, and here's the reason we're talking about that. Most of us, in our natural way, are tempted to think that demons are responsible for everything bad that happens. And in many cases, we're right if we think that. I had a pastor once who said, "At its root, every problem has a spiritual dimension." He's right. There is a spiritual side to everything that happens. However, everything isn't immediately caused by demons. Sometimes it's caused by what? Us. And we need to add a tagline onto that, and our stupidity. The event or difficulty happens because God ordains it, or it happens because He permits it. Either way, God's consent is involved. Or we do something in the flesh or led by the Spirit, and He uses it for the purpose of teaching us something and giving Him glory. Then, without exception, everyone wants to feel important. Right? We want to feel significant or successful. Everyone. That's everyone. And the people who say they don't worry or concern themselves about that are probably not being truthful about it. Because that's one of our greatest needs, is to feel a sense of significance, importance, and or security, or D, all of the above. Our gospel passage for this teaching time is the longer version from verse 14 through 37. And this whole passage speaks to us about faith, power, and prestige. Jesus has just come down from the mountain of Transfiguration, and he walks up to his disciples, the ones he left down in the valley, and there's quite a ruckus going on. The story opens, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" So Jesus approached his disciples, and there was a huge crowd gathering around them. There were also some scribes present. These two details make this an interesting scene, one which was ripe for conflict. The folks saw Jesus and went running over to him. Then Jesus spoke. There's a detail here that many people don't notice, and that's Jesus asked the scribes what they were discussing with his disciples. We don't get any details on how the scribes answered, but we see that the boy's father speaks directly to Jesus. What does he say? He says, "Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down and he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they couldn't.'" If this is an illustration of life in general, we can see that the foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid could be a lot like some people with whom we have been faced or have to deal with. Right? Have you ever heard the phrase, "He was so mad he was almost foaming at the mouth"? Well, there are people like that. And I met one of them on Friday, on the way home from New York. The guy obviously thought that I had cut him off, which I didn't, but he got out of his van, jumped up on the hood of the rented car I had, and took his foot and smashed the windshield. And you can see from the picture, there's an imprint there that does have the shape of a boot. And it was his right foot. I got a good look at him, but here's the point. This is the kind of person that we have to deal with in this world. Sometimes. Fortunately, not everybody's that angry that quickly. But he represents one of those folks who would have been foaming at the mouth. He was that angry. Now, so that boy's condition, whether it's really demonic or whether or not he just had epilepsy, resembles demonic oppression, and it's also a picture of this life and the adverse people with whom we have to deal on a semi-regular basis. Now, the boy's dad is understandably fearful. The boy's father came right out and said the cause of his son's difficulties was an evil spirit, among the most horrible conditions with which anyone might ever be afflicted. His dad called it a mute spirit. So the man did the right thing. He was bringing his son to Jesus. Or he thought he was bringing his son to Jesus at first. Since Jesus was up on the mountain, he had to settle for the disciples at first instead. But then the man admitted his further frustration. "So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Jesus then, if you're looking at the passage, gives a stern response. He says, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." To whom was Jesus speaking when he asked those questions? Specifically. No. The disciples. They were the ones who couldn't cast it out. The scribes certainly couldn't. And all the bystanders, they were probably not able to either. So Jesus is giving a rebuke to his disciples because, think about this, this is maybe 1.5 to 2, possibly 2.5 years into his ministry with them. They had seen him, they'd heard his teaching, they had heard him speak, they had seen him cast out demon after demon. But still, they didn't have the faith to do it themselves. So Jesus is saying, how long am I going to have to put up with you guys? But let's not be too hard on those disciples. God bless their pointy little heads. How accurately could Jesus say that about some of us in our lack of faith? How long am I going to have to put up with this guy? He's read my Bible. He's read the Bible every day for 20 years. I don't know who that would apply to. And he's heard sermon after sermon. or she has heard sermon after sermon. He or she has watched and heard some of the best. And still, they have faith that's about as deep as your pinky nail. Could Jesus accurately say that and ask that question to some of us? Don't answer. Now, what was Jesus' remedy? Bring him to me. Folks, that's our remedy right there. When there's a situation that is so bothersome and perplexing, we need to heed the Lord's words and bring it to him. And after we give it to him, don't take it back. It's sort of like if you're trekking down the concourse of an airport and you got this 50-pound backpack on, you drop it on the baggage checkpoint, you've taken it off. The weight is gone. But taking it back is sort of like grabbing it back off the checkpoint and taking it up again and then carrying it onto the airplane when you could put it on in the baggage hold. How many of us do that? We give a problem to the Lord, but then about an hour later, the panic sets back in, and we take it back, and we carry it some more. And then we endure the bruises and the scars to our spirit and our heart that come from having to carry the weight of that thing. Because in our pridefulness, we think somehow that we can fix it, but God can't. How real is that? Because we don't see God acting fast enough, we think we've got to run with it ourselves. And so we take the problem back. But Jesus said, "Bring him to me." Now the man goes and says, and he's thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. The man said, if. Let's be honest here again. How many of us approach the Lord this way? Well, Lord, I'm going to give this to you and I hope you can do something. If you want to, I know you can answer me, but I'm just kind of hoping it'll all work out. That's not exactly how we're supposed to pray when we do that. We're supposed to say, God, I can't handle this anymore. It's about to eat me alive. Please take it. I give it to you. I'll just be your servant and do what you tell me to in response. So, either we ourselves or we know of someone who's prayed about something and 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 prayed about something again and again and again, and the answer has apparently not come, at least not the one they're looking for. They pray and pray and pray and pray, or maybe we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray. You getting a trend here? We pray and we pray and we pray, and it seems like the prayers are bouncing off the ceiling and falling back down at our feet because the answer we're after hasn't come or hasn't come yet. So we get frustrated, it shakes our faith, and we're even tempted to believe that praying doesn't do any good. Why bother? I know of someone who actually refused to pray when I asked this person to join a group prayer. The person said, no, because God doesn't answer my prayers. I was caught off guard, to say the least. And for a few seconds, I was at a loss to respond. And that's one of the few times in my life I've ever been at a loss for words. And I understand, I told this person, I understand that you're disappointed because it seems like your prayers have not been answered. But let me encourage you, never give up on God. Even if you're hesitant, come on and join the group. They joined the group, and in a few weeks, the thing for which this person had prayed for so long actually happened. their prayer was answered. And it was the one for which this person had been praying so desperately for months. Now, what was Jesus' answer to this man? Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." The English Standard Version has Jesus speaking a little bit more sternly to the man. Jesus said to him, this is from the ESV, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." The Lord had spoken. The tone was a little more stern. And you get that idea and impression from the ESV, because in the ESV version of that verse, it uses an exclamation point after Jesus says, "If you can." It's sort of like the Lord is telling this man, well, it's not sort of like, it's exactly like. He's telling him, what do you mean if? When you pray, there are no conditions on whether or not the Lord will answer. Just we have to be prepared for the answer, because some of the time we're asking for something we shouldn't be asking for, and the answer is no. Some of the time we're praying for something we should be praying for, but the answer is not yet. And then other times the answer is so quick, you barely get done by saying amen before the answer comes. And I imagine all of us in this room have had that experience with all three versions of those answers, have we not? But Jesus said, what do you mean if? All things are possible for he who believes. Jesus used the word if quite strongly, and he meant it. So, how does this man respond? Well, folks, I absolutely am certain it's clear that he got the point. Because he says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. This should teach us how to talk to God about the status of our prayers and our willingness to pray them. If we're wavering in our faith, don't stop praying. If we have doubts, don't stop praying. If we have questions, which I'm sure we all do, don't give up. Don't stop praying. Keep on praying. And if need be, ask the Lord to strengthen your faith. Or if you're wavering and floundering, ask him to give you faith. Because remember in Ephesians 2:8, faith is a gift. So ask him. Ask him to give it to you. And if you don't have enough, ask him for more. Or ask him for the strength to use the faith you have. Yeah. We are going to go through trials and difficulties. We are going to be in situations we don't like. Those things are going to be challenges to our faith, but they're always an opportunity for us to grow and increase in faith and power through His Holy Spirit. So never give up and keep asking. And if you need to, ask for faith. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.